our number one go-to is just maintenance. Let's get inside the customer's house, target the home on age, and chances are they haven't had any maintenance done to it for 15 or 20 years, and find things wrong with it and go from there. Either get them as an agreement customer, sell them some replacements or upgrades to get it modernized, or replace the system. Those are the number one go-tos.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? You know what it is? It is almost Christmas time, or whatever it is that you celebrate. But for me, it's Christmas, and it's coming up really soon. You know what's also coming up is another year and a presidential election. God help us. We don't know what's going to go down, but we know something's going to go down. But regardless, you're still going to be in a business, and you're still going to have to make decisions and be successful or not be successful. That's completely up to you. Hopefully this podcast has helped you out through this year. What a weird year this has been. I got to see a lot of you a few weeks back at Home Service Freedom, and then a few weeks before that, Service World Expo, Pantheon. I feel like I've been all over the damn place lately, and I ran into this guy a few different times while I was there. That's our guest on here today, and I'm grateful anytime we can bring on actual Rhino customers on the podcast as well. But the story is what I love, and the history of it is what I love, and we can get on contractors who've kind of been through the old 08, 09 recession stuff that happened and kind of are still in the business today. And like, I mean, I'm a big history buff anyhow, so I just love people to tell their stories. But our guest that's on today is Steve Miles. And if you don't know who Steve Miles is, he's not only a handsome man, but actually he is the the CEO, sorry if you're watching the video, I lost it. The CEO of Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning out of St. Louis. Well, I mean, I'm going to call it St. Louis, the St. Louis area, also known as the Lou. But hey, Steve, do you know who else is from the Lou?
Lots of people.
You know who else is from the Lou? This famous guy.
Yeah, Nelly.
Shimmy, shimmy, kumpa, what? So we had Nelly at our at Rhino X earlier this year performing, but we had him at our Rhino Christmas party last year. So
nice.
From the Lou, and he's proud. That was a fun one. So you've never been to a Rhino X. Well, how the hell has that happened? Like, you just, what is it? You don't want to be around me?
I was just asking Bethany about that. I don't know. We're looking at that right now.
I think just, I mean, it's become pretty crazy. It's quite an interesting event. It's fun.
Okay, tell me, why should I go?
Well, listen, this is for larger contractors, right? But who else can bring guys like Ken Goodrich, Dave Geiger, Ken Haynes, Leland Smith, Jimmy Hiller, put them all right next to each other in the exact same room and get them to actually stay and then work with other contractors? It's a single day event. It's like the most exclusive list of people. And it's from all my relationships I've had over the years. I just bring them all in one place. I keep it small. And we only allow 50 people to come total. I give the majority of that to my own customers for obvious reasons, because I want them to learn from some of the big players as well. But you can, you know, it's hard if you're a $30, $40, $50 million guy to learn without talking to some of the bigger contractors, right? Like, you have to be able to see where you're going and understand where you're going from those who've been or who are there or have been there.
Kudos on the lineup. That's one hell of a lineup.
Thank you, man. And I even talked to Ara into coming, which is cool. So Ara from CEO Service Titan is going to come in as well and join us, which is pretty cool. But nice. Yeah, that's what it is. So this will be our fourth one that's coming up. And I'm very proud of it. And my favorite part of the whole thing during the daytime session is the workshops, because we have those that are attending, you know, submit some of the challenges that they're either going through or they're going to be going through, because we all have them regardless of what phase you're at in business. And then they actively work through them with all the different speakers. So we split off into groups. Goodrich works with the group. Frank DeMarco's coming in and kind of working alongside Leland, since Frank's kind of got the baton passed to him. Frank, great dude. And that's what makes it so cool, is I get to watch all these, you know, contractors, whether they're, you know, 5, 8, 10 million, sitting with these guys. Cause you know, sometimes they're afraid to approach, you know, approach them or even you. And that's like the Super Bowl of the event. It's the coolest thing. So, but you guys had a couple things last month. You had a birthday, right? You turned what? 31, 32, somewhere around there.
Yeah. 31.
Second time. I thought I read that somewhere. So what, you're 62?
Yeah.
Looking good, man. And then you guys had your 46-year anniversary as a company, right?
Yes, we did. Yeah. Yes, we did.
You actually bought this from your father-in-law, because if you guys noticed, I said his name is Steve Miles, not Jerry Kelly. The name of the company is Jerry Kelly, but Jerry Kelly was actually, is your father-in-law. Is that right?
Yeah. Like most successful business people, I married up.
Good for you.
My wife is an only child. Her parents owned it. So we just kind of fit in. They tried to talk us out of it back in the early 90s. They didn't want us to have anything to do with it. I saw it as kind of a challenge. I go, yeah, let us try. And here we are.
Yeah. Don't fail. Don't mess it up.
Don't foul up.
Don't foul up. You know what? I was kind of, as I was going back through and prepping for this episode, you won't remember this. If you do, I'll be absolutely shocked. But I remember the first time I met you.
Okay.
And you actually, your head at the time was, you had a shave. I think your head was shaved at the time. Like you didn't have your hairs done like it is now.
Yeah, number short, 4 on top, 2 on the sides, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever it is. It was something short like that. But it was back at what used to be called Comfort Tech.
Comfort Tech.
I want to say it was like maybe either 14 or 15, somewhere around there. I mean, okay. I don't remember where it was at on the East Coast, maybe Philly, somewhere around there. I can't remember where it was, but it was at a Comfort Tech. It was the first time I met you. And because I'd heard of your brand, because when I was early in business, one of the earlier markets I was able to compete in was St. Louis. Yeah. So I knew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We talked about that.
Back.
Once.
That's right. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
But you know what else is like, you know, I saw your guys' TikTok channel for Jerry Kelly, which I think is great. So listeners, if you haven't checked out their TikTok channel, it's pretty good. Like they do a pretty good job of it. I'm impressed.
I've got to give all the kudos to the marketing girls, but yeah, they enjoy it. They have a lot of fun doing it and they're constantly in our face with the cameras.
Yeah. And you got a lot of the technicians participating, like, well done.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. And then another thing I noticed that you do that we just did too, is you guys are involved, are big supporters of Alzheimer and the Alzheimer awareness. And so you guys did the walk as well. Our team just did it this past weekend together. So same thing. So kudos to you guys for doing that. I love giving back. It's something that's big to me. So we kind of have that in common. I didn't know that.
Yeah. My mother-in-law has been struggling with Alzheimer's for 18 years. She's been in a home for about the last 6, and that we just, there's all kind of charities out there, but this one that's near and dear to our hearts, and you get involved and you find out how many people are affected by Alzheimer's. Everybody knows somebody.
Yeah. And it's brutal because like my wife's mother had the same thing, and it's heartbreaking because, you know, you can't do anything about it. You can't, it's very hard to stop it once it's progressing. And I mean, it's just heartbreaking to go in and know that they just don't remember, you know, I felt so bad for my wife in those moments, knowing all the things that we've done. And you just got to know, like, it's not there. It's not the reality of the situation. Like, of course.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
Exactly.
It's not their fault.
So anyways, kudos to you guys for doing those things. I love that part of it. But I want to jump into the story too for our listeners, because I always try and like, I get sucked into conversations all the time, but I want to tell the story. And again, you know, like you and I were talking pre-podcast, Steve, is, you know, a lot of what I try to do, especially like leading up to this particular episode, is I've been sharing things that some of the contractors can do regardless of size to make sure they've put themselves in a really good position going into 2024. And maybe that's just stay on the course, doing what they've been doing and focusing on doing that even better or doing it really, really well. Kind of like tightening the ship might be a scenario of something that you can do as a contractor, regardless of industry, regardless of size. But there's also things that you can do maybe you've not done before. I'm not telling you add another industry. I'm not necessarily saying that. But there could be other things that you could do to put yourself out there that maybe you've not done before. There's options is what I'm telling you. But what you can't do is nothing. You got to do something. Yeah. And so, you know, with the big conversation at Home Service Freedom, I got to lead the marketing panel. And I love leading the marketing panel because I love panel diversity. I like people being able to share their opinions. But those opinions better be backed up by facts. And the facts are, how did it actually work for a contractor? Because I don't want you going up and sharing your theory. Because if then a contractor follows your theory and it falls flat, well, listen, like, that's not okay, right? Because they're banking on you to give them good information to guide their business. So in this instance, though, what I'd like to have, because you've got tenure and you've been in the industry so long and you've seen some things, is you kind of get to share a little bit about, you know, your come up into the industry to where Jerry Kelly is today and the success it has today. But then I want to talk through, like, that path there, and then based, you know, like maybe some of the pitfalls that you hit that you learned from, the good things, but then also, you know, where's your head at and what are you preparing for 2024? Because, you know, if we call it an unstable market, you call it a recession, you call it the unknown because of the presidential election that's coming up, all the things. I'm just curious to know kind of like, where do you sit with that? And like, what are you planning on that? So before we get into that, let's go ahead.
That's a heck of an outline.
Yeah, well, and I'll guide us through it. I'm just trying to let listeners know ahead of time. Like, these, this is some of the stuff I want to hit on. So let's go ahead and give them a little bit of a history lesson, Steve, on how you got into the trades and all the way up to where Jerry Kelly is today, so they understand the size of your business that you're running.
All right, I'll keep it simple. Graduated high school in 1980. Construction was kind of flat. I didn't want to go to college, so I started out as a laborer. Did flat work for a while. Did roofing for a while. Found out I didn't want to do any of those for long-term, big, back-breaking, strong guy type jobs. Looked around the construction site. Electrician looked like a good idea. So I got a job as an electrician. Through 12 years of being an electrician, I wired a bunch of houses, took a bunch of classes to improve myself, motor controls, refrigerant theory. Did pretty well in them, understood them. And then I met my wife, and we dated for 3 years. When we got married in 1994, I moved into the business, started out as a dispatcher, went to service manager, and that was fun because I got my job because I married the boss's daughter, right? this guy don't know nothing about air conditioning. So we had to play a lot of stump the chumps, and I'd taken refrigerant theory, I understood it, so they'd give me a question and I'd come back and I'd diagnose it as a restriction, whatever. They couldn't pull stuff over on me because I just say that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then I went into sales manager in about 97, 98, the first round of the real consolidation. My in-laws were talking to them. And I had just joined peer group, a mixed group with ACCA. And everything that they said they were going to do for our company is what my mixed group said we could do, should do to grow our company. So I just asked them to give me the chance, and they said, okay. And they made me general manager. That day we announced it, half our service techs walked into my father-in-law's office and asked him, is this guy really going to be running the place? He said, yeah, he's a country guy, my father-in-law. I reckon he is. And they said, all right, we're quitting.
Dang.
So.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah, best thing that ever happened, though. Stuff like that happens for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, so we just grew from there. We were probably 1998, $1.5 million, $2 million a year. This year, we're running $15.5 million on a trailing 12 months.
Nice.
And it's all – you got so many questions. But that's where we're at right now. Yeah. We're running about 11% EBITDA. So we're a decent company. We're not the best in the world, but we're steady and we're
yeah. –
Put up or shut up. on the running 365, we're up 11%. The year before that, we're 9.7%.
Yeah. Well, and so listen, and the previous few years, let's be honest, were unicorn years for the trades, right? Like, it's easy to lose perspective of just how amazing those 2 years were for the trades.
Oh, we were the only ones.
It was good. It's interesting because I have, you know, so many people that will reach out to me on the side, whether they're a customer or not, it's irrelevant, or a listener or not, it's irrelevant. It's just, you know, because I'm kind of out in the public so much that are always asking me about who should I go and talk to? Should I sell? Should I not sell? I'm like, well, first off, like, I'm not the one you need to be asking if you should sell your business or not. If you're asking me, you're already asking, or like, you're already going about it the wrong way. You need to make sure that's what you want to do. And then you need to make sure if you find the right person, if you're going to stick with it, that who you're going to go with, and is it the right time? I don't know. You tell me. Like, there's windows that open, and there'll be more windows that open down the road. Like, it's not like you notice these same patterns that happen over and over. You mentioned, you know, like the 98, 99 mark. So you hit a recession, you know, I'm not the one to answer that question. I can give you suggestions if you say, hey, I'm looking forward to doing this. I know it's what I want to do. What's your opinion on X, you know, platform or this? I can give you that based on my opinion, based on if they have any brands within that, you know, those organizations, and I have a relationship with them. I could say, hey, how's it going? I'll give you that feedback based on facts, but it ain't on me. But, you know, but you're in a position where you're still a privately held company, like, which seems like a rarity. You know what I mean? I mean, for a company that's even of your size, because I'll bet you're still getting solicited quite a bit.
Oh, all the time. And I'm not going to say it's off the table, but I, I didn't really understand at the beginning of it what it was all about. And I had to educate myself because it doesn't make sense. If you're just a layman looking at, oh, yeah, and all this multiples and money and second bite at the apple, if you don't understand what all that means, it really goes over your head and it's kind of scary. So I'd recommend everybody look into it and figure out what it's all about, because regardless of if you're going to sell or not, or if it's the right time or not, if you don't have a business that's built to sell, it's irrelevant.
Right.
Nobody's going to want to pay you for it.
Yep. And listen, like listening to Steve talk, it's okay if you don't understand it. Like it is confusing, like, and it can be confusing, and you never know what to believe with what you hear, and people love to inflate their numbers, you know, and like, and that can lead you down a wrong path, you know, and you'll hear a multiple is this or multiple of that. Just ask the questions, man. There's plenty of people out there that can help kind of bring you some truth to it. But
well, if you don't want to ask the questions, there's a book, The Private Equity Playbook by Adam Coffey. I got turned on to it by a good friend of mine, and it's easy to understand. It's written at that high school graduate level. I understood what they were saying, and it made, you know, read through it a couple times. You might wrap your arms around it.
Now you got, well, one, actually before I go any further too, with that, thanks for sharing that. So that's, I mean, anything like that you can reference. Plus we've done I don't even know how many different podcast episodes I've done specifically on that and brought people on to talk about the different, you know, ways you can go about
Ken Goodrich. How many times has Ken been on?
I mean, Ken's been on 152 times out of 300 episodes. Hey, by the way, before I forget, congratulations on your HVAC Hall of Fame induction from the Contracting Business Magazine, man. That's very cool.
It was awesome. It was completely unexpected, and I'm just honored that they thought I've done enough over, well, when they call it lifetime, that's kind of a perspective gathering point, but I'm still honored anyway. It was a neat thing.
Well, so, you know, one of the conversations I was just having earlier today in a text message group with some of my buddies is, you know, we always hold each other accountable for performance, you know, and by the way, I encourage you to find a good group of people that you can connect with. Like Steve was talking about a peer group early on from ACCA. Find people who will hold you accountable, that won't just be like yes man or say yes to you or just agree with you. Find people that are okay with hurting your feelings a little bit, but by giving you some truth. It's so necessary to have that, but also that you can trust, that you can bounce ideas and things off of. And when you get in a time that's you're struggling, man, that group is like so critical for you to have, because they understand where you're at. They understand the industry. They understand the business. Perhaps they've been through it, but find yourself a group. So I have one of those.
100%. 100%.
You know, and this year's been hard. Like I have nearly 700 contractors as customers. Like if you imagine it's hard for you, I've got a lot to manage. I'm so grateful that I've been in this industry now going on 16 years of doing exactly this and helping contractors grow, that I went through the 08. I mean, I started the business in 08, 09. Like I went into it in that time.
Oh, baby.
But you know what was interesting about that and why it actually worked out so well, Steve, is because when we get in those situations where there's a recession or something like that happens in the market, there's some of those that just crumble, you know, that don't do anything, and they're fearful and they just crumble and the business doesn't make it. And that will happen. And it's already happening. You're seeing some of those things happening now because you're not making some sort of a move. But there's also the others that know, like, I got to do something different. And by the way, internet marketing was still really, really new at that point in time. And I'm a Midwesterner, right? So I started the business in Indiana, and the things get a little bit slower coming in towards the Midwest. And so the reason it worked out so well for me is people were willing to take a chance on something that was scary before to them. They didn't understand. And so it actually helped me launch the business. It just so happened that I got sucked into HVAC really early with Carrier Corporation, Carrier and Bryant. And now here I am doing the same shit 16 years later.
This is a very incestuous industry. Once people get sucked in, they never leave. But check the name tag. They're probably working for somebody else.
Exactly. Well, here's where I was going down with that. Okay. So I'm very grateful to have an influence in the industry, but based on my reputation and experience, I'm grateful I get to use this platform to share those things. But I want to get yours. So has this year been easy for Jerry Kelly?
No.
It's been hard. It's been super hard.
It's been super hard. It's... I want people to think about where we're really at. Unemployment's down low. I mean, they're talking about inflation, but I mean, we're seeing positive growth. Nobody's out of work. There's a lot of head trash out there that I think stops owners, techs, salespeople from closing deals. I think that we create a lot of these problems ourselves. We try and convince them to make a $1,000 repair instead of putting in a new unit, when really the new unit would be in their best interest. But that's our own head trash. It's a 6-inch problem right between the ears.
Yep.
And I just, we're growing. Are we growing as fast as I'd like? No, but we're growing. And our biggest problem this year has been finding the right people. There's a lot of people. We run interviews all the time. We hire maybe 2 or 3%. I mean, you have to kiss a lot of frogs.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's mostly, are people cautious? Yeah, you've got to provide value. If you're not out there servicing them and giving them a value, they're not going to buy from you. But you've got to provide the value. But if you do, people will spend money.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, right? Because sometimes what happens is when we get in our own head, like you're saying, you're trying to spend the homeowner's money for them versus doing what's actually right for them. And that's kind of what you're talking about. It's like we psych ourselves out. We believe our own lie.
Yeah, I've got a technician driving a 72 Ford 4x4, 3/4 ton, some antique he bought down in Oklahoma, but he drives it. It's his everyday drive. You can't convince him that he needs a new truck. How's he going to convince somebody that they need to replace their air conditioner? I can fix it, man. I can fix it.
I can fix it. Well, so, and you also mentioned one other thing I want to hit on. I don't know if you noticed this there or not too, and you're in one of those markets that's like a true four-season market in St. Louis, but recruiting is starting to get a little bit weird. And by the way, the people that are actively looking are probably not the people that you want. You know, it's trying to find the people, you know, like that. Some of that is happening more now because of all the consolidations. Like we are certainly seeing that, you know, where people are like, whoever, they don't want to work for the consolidator. So we are starting to get seeing some solid talent that is actively looking, but that's not normally been the case. If somebody's looking, it's probably not the person that you want. There's a reason that they're looking.
yeah, exactly. We, generally speaking, we hire people from outside the industry that are looking for a change. And we've been pretty successful at it. We've got a pretty consolidated training program. You mentioned Jimmy Hiller. He's got, was it Build a Tech or whatever, down in Nashville. Yep. It's a great program. You get somebody competent to do cleaning checks in a relatively short period of time. But you got to have a system. You got to have a process for doing that. Because, yeah, you're right. Most of the guys that are on the street that have experience, 15 years experience or 1 year experience 15 times. Yeah, it's they're usually on the street for a reason, especially now.
Exactly. What would you think? I mean, what do you think has been like the biggest struggle this year? Like, I mean, I know that you and I were talking again pre-podcast on how, you know, you refuse to, you know, really acknowledge, you know, a recession, right? Or an unstable market. And I do believe in that too, by the way, you know, my good buddy, Chad Peterman, you know, I did the at ACA, I did a panel with him and we talked about this. He said the exact same thing. Maybe he stole that from you.
I said it back in 07, 08 to my wife. She goes, "What are you talking about?" I go, "We're not going to participate." "How can you say that?" "I just did. Don't you hear?" Yeah, we got a little smart ass debrief, but what we did, and you kind of had brushed upon it, but everybody, all the home builders, everybody was bailing out of media. All of a sudden, media is panicking. So I went to them and I threatened to pull out. They gave me a hell of a deal, so I bought more. I mean, it's the same thing now. And then we basically, I don't know, we didn't quite double our marketing budget back then, but we probably got quadrupled to buy just because of what was just empty spaces out there. And you got to do the same thing. You got to go. And I don't say you're not going to participate. You have to actively participate. Right. You got to get pissed and you got to fight, but you got to have a plan too. You can't just say, "Woe is me. The economy sucks. I guess I'm just going to go down the toilet with everybody."
Yeah. I mean, you know Goodrich, and like if you ask him this conversation, and it's hard to like, because he of where he's been and what he's accomplished, it's very, very difficult for the majority to relate, right? It's easy for him to say, "Well, that's when I'm going to take everybody's business because, you know, I'll just quadruple down." And a lot of that's true though, right? Because if you think about this, what typically happens in times like right now, and I'm going to give you a little bit of what I believe from just this year as an example, but most people, you get scared about what's happening and there's the unknown. And then, so what do we do? We retract. Like, we're looking for places to save. And everybody knows when business slows down, it's marketing's fault. So of course we pull back on marketing. That's like what.
Well, that's the biggest, easiest expense. Look at that big line at 10%. Holy, you know how much money we'd make if we didn't spend that?
Of course. And then you're like, oh shit, where are the new business coming from? I cut my mark. It's like, those that I've noticed, and this is where I'm very grateful to have been in this situation. And I'll use the COVID as an example because this happened then too. In that March of 2020, like, we all were kind of wondering what the hell was going on, no matter what situation or what your skill set is or what recessions you've been through previously. That was something none of us had been through unless you went through the plague. And I don't think anybody else been through the plague that was, and still in business today. But once we learned and got comfortable with, like, oh, okay, this is the situation, the majority of all your competitors are scared and pulling back because we're like hoarding stuff. We don't know what the hell's going on. What happened is our most successful customers, and I think this is right before you even came on board as a customer with us, is we were going and saying, oh, people are going to be home. Let's double down. Like, let's go across all the account managers and start saying, hey, let's start doubling down because we'll throw on the little, the little badge that says, no contact service calls and like all this stuff to help with protection, but let's double down because so many pulled back and it was so incredibly successful. So, but I'm a big believer because to your point, like you're just saying, Steve, is in those moments, like clockwork, no matter what year it is, at least any time in our time frame of being in business, is the majority of your competitors pull back. They pull back and then you can go for it. So if you start to double down on it, if you have the right staffing to support it, of course, but if you double down on it, you will take market share from people. Like, that is what's going to happen if you do it. It's scary. But
And this will get back to something if we talk about helping other people out, you need to know your numbers. You need to be profitable because you need to have that bankroll ready to pull the trigger on. Because if an investment opportunity comes across your path, you better have the revenue to be able to jump on it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying like willy nilly throw some shit at the wall and hope it sticks, but you're right. You have to know your numbers and when we were at the Home Service Freedom event, I talked about this specifically because I'm a big fan of knowing exactly what's coming in every month. It's like, so for instance, for the listeners, Steve is a customer of Rhinos. At any point in time, what he can do is log into a reporting dashboard and we know every single lead that came in. And I'm talking net new business, like a new bookable service or install lead, because that's what we determine a lead. That is what a lead is, by the way. And I need to know what was the cost per lead. And then Steve wants to know, not only what did we pay for it, but how did his team perform on it? What was the booking rate? And then ultimately, did it close? What's the revenue? Like, the whole thing. If you know those things for a fact and don't have to guess on it, yes, you can make a decision to be heavier on marketing because you know what you've got. You know exactly what's coming in from it. It's easier to make the decision that way. The unfortunate part is most of you, even you listening right now, do not realistically know that number or to know those metrics. And
if you can get even close, it's a blessing because there's so much information coming from so many different directions. It's hard to make sense of it all. Even tracking numbers. We got people calling in on tracking numbers we haven't used for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, but
you got to be able to decipher it. And yeah, the Rhinos is a great platform because it went right through that chain to us.
Yeah, and the good news about this is, like, if they come into the site, I don't care how they come in through it, and this is why the team is so damn big here, because I'm trying to keep it, keep us both accountable, right? Because if my only job is to bring in new business, I still have to track it to make sure, did we or did we not do a good job? The odds of us,
right customers, yeah.
But you also have to know, like, how does your brand play into this in the market? If you have shitty brand equity, then yeah, you really better keep track of your numbers because otherwise you can blow a ton of money and you went and ran a maintenance call, So you have to pay attention to the numbers to be able to do these things. So maybe one of your takeaways is, hey, I don't do anything with marketing. I'm just going to sit and focus on getting that, that dialed in. Like, what is going on internally? So that's one thing that you can do.
And the least expensive takeaway is don't cut back on your marketing. Whatever you've got planned, keep it up. Don't stop.
Yep. I love that. You can yell that one as many times as you'd like, but do it smart. Like, Steve's talking about call tracking numbers. They're very inexpensive. If you just have a call tracking number on whatever marketing material you're using, if it's a direct mail piece going to a home, you need to know exactly what calls came from it and you need to know exactly what happened with it. You can do these things with a call tracking number and a human being to listen to it. I mean, shit, AI can listen to it for you right now and get you close enough.
Oh, with the technology, they can get a QR code and go directly and book on your website.
Absolutely. I
mean, if you, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, you can.
And that's where everything's going. AI is going to take over the customer service part of this business, I predict.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. Yeah, and it's incredible. I don't know if you heard, like, you know, one of the guys talking at the conference about what AI, how they're using AI to listen to, like, the, you know, the sales team or the technicians or people at the home to gather the information. It's crazy. I mean, I have millions and millions of minutes of conversations between consumer and, you know, and contractor that I currently, you know, I'm evaluating to see, like, how can I use artificial intelligence to help make us better based on these? Like, it's cool. I like it, but it is scary at the same time.
It's happening. So it's not right or wrong, but it is, and it will be. So we need to adapt one way or the other.
Otherwise, we fall into the same pattern of, like, oh, you know, it's coming, but, like, it's the early adopters that start to win these games. That's how it's worked out forever, right?
I mean, we use ServiceTitan. You said you have an Aura to your the Rhino X,
right?
They're coming out. They're starting on the AI path. Well, yeah, I want to be in on the beta of that. I want to know how it works. I want to get my hands around it, and I want to apply it, because I'll tell you what, you get it working, it's amazing. It works very efficiently, and it doesn't, you know, in scheduling calls. Oh, Mike deserves a call, you know, or, you know, no, he doesn't. He doesn't sell anything. We got to give that to somebody that sells something. So we got other people work. Oh, well, you know, he's a nice guy. Yeah, he is. But no, and AI doesn't have those proclivities.
Right. And you know what? And you mentioned that too. And I heard this conversation the other day. I'm going to totally derail for a second, but, and it was around, like, payment plans. You know, I heard this from stage, and I don't remember who the heck I heard it from, but it was around coming up with good creative payment plans to help, you know, you can use AI in a way as a coaching tool to make them better by hearing the, you know, the sales process. So that's one way you can, like, use for coaching tools or education. But payment plans is, like, I keep hearing these different payment plan options and things like that. Do you guys use that as a way to try and recruit talent with a better payment plan or a simplified payment plan? Like, because sometimes some of these payment plans are complicated, like, you don't even know what the hell you're getting paid because you can't even figure out your own payment plan. But, like, do you guys have something that you use as a recruiting tool, or, like, do you use that simplifies it to make it easy?
What we use is the recruiting tool is everybody's W-2s, just with the names blanked out to show how much they can make. But no, I listen to, I listen to speakers at Home Service 20. What is that? It's on your thing there.
Home Service Freedom.
That was an amazing. That was an amazing presentation. Tommy really did a great job on that. But I listened to Ishmael.
Ishmael. I was who's talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. He so hit the nail on the head. We go out of our way to make these things so difficult, and you got to make it simple. So that's, like, one of my take homes from the Home Service Freedom convention is make it simple.
Yeah, that's who it was. I should have known that because I know I've heard him talk about that before. And he's always kind of like, sometimes what works in LA might not work all over the United States of America, but the simplicity part of it actually, you know, you can make a lot of sense of. So I want to ask a couple, just another quick question on, you know, as much of a, you know, as a, of a challenging year this has been, what are some, like, what are some big, you know, what are some big wins that you, that you've had this year or that you've recognized through some of these things? Like, what are some big wins that, that Jerry Kelly has recognized and, or you personally, Steve?
I'm going to go personally first, my family. I mean, I've got a great wife, two great kids, both in their early to mid 20s and being successful. I'm blessed. I can't say anything more about that. And then our team here, Jerry Kelly's a close second. They all perform duties that are essential. I mean, literally essential. You want to talk about COVID and essential. Every one of them has their job because the duty they perform is essential for us to provide the service that we provide for our customers. We're not the low-cost provider. But we do go out of our way to try and do it at a level far and exceeding what other guys deliver. So those are my two biggest successes, being able to build a team like that that can do $15.5 million. And it's organizational skills. They're great.
How do you keep everybody like rah-rah go, like with the culture around there too, even when it's like the market's wonky like this?
I saw a movie with Matthew McConaughey the other night about American submarine guys that captured a German U-boat, and the skipper died. Now Matthew McConaughey's the captain. He said in front of everybody, "I don't know either." And later on, the chief came up to him, this, you know, old grizzled old guy, goes, "If you ever say that you don't know again in front of my men, I'll never serve for you again. However, if you show the confidence and say you know what's going to happen, even if you don't and you follow it through, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth." So that's kind of the way I think you got to go into this. You've got to believe it yourself first, then it just kind of flows from there. And then I've got Shelly, my general manager. I mean, talk about a dynamo. You probably met her, but she's all about keeping everybody engaged and hyped up. Then Bethany in our marketing department, where managers are cooking breakfast for the whole team this Thursday. And then we're going to have a whole company meeting. So just stuff like that. It's my team more than me, but they direct me where I need to go.
Yeah. You mentioned the breakfast thing. Like, I want to, was it Ishmael again that said the same thing? Like, hey, cook breakfast for your people. I've actually known quite a few people that are doing that. And it seems so simple and almost even like, oh, well, that's kind of silly. No, it's actually not silly. It actually really, really kicks the day off right. You know, and it kind of gets everybody, you feel good. They made breakfast for you. That's a bigger deal than you think it is. But all those little things add up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the way they look at your example. They look at your leadership team's example. If the leadership team's panicking, they're going to be scared. It's like if you're on a submarine, if the captain's scared, holy cow, I ought to be really scared because I don't know what's going on.
Man, so, I don't want to be on a submarine with the captain scared. I'll tell you that much. Because that's going to be a shitty situation. Then the 6 inches, I might have some problems thinking through that between the ears on how I'm gonna make it out of there. I will say this, you know, something that you could potentially take away, and we're going into this phase now at Rhino, and we do this every single year, is you can get your team involved, you know, in trying to fight. Like maybe you say, hey, I don't know, or whatever. You don't say that, but maybe what you can do is get them involved in. We do an exercise called Right, Wrong, Missing, Confusing every single year. And it can be brutal as the leader in the business because what you're doing is putting it out anonymously to all of your employees to say, hey, what do we do right at the company? What do we do wrong at the company? What is confusing about this company and or your job? And what's missing? And so it's an anonymous thing. So we send it out to everybody. And then what we do as a leadership team or an executive team is we come up with our own list. And then we marry the two together to see, are we aligned or are we not aligned on the things? But it allows you as the leader in your company, or if you're listening and you're a technician, because we have lots of technicians and installers and things like that are listening, is it gives you a voice. And it's something, it's a suggestion that you can make. Steve, it's brutal to go through that because, you know, inevitably you got somebody that don't like you, which is crazy. Or doesn't like the way you do something maybe instead, you know, or doesn't like the way the company does something. And you got to keep in mind, they don't like it based on what they know. And they're not factoring in all the things that make XYZ decision, but at least you get to know kind of where people stand, but it allows them to feel like they're participating, you know, and they are participating by offering up their opinion. And if you start to see, you know, enough people who are saying the same thing, well, then maybe there's something to it. Like we need to look into those things. But then it kind of makes it a collaborative environment. Now, ultimately, you make the decision, right? But you need to understand, because people don't want to tell you to your face, you know? But if you make it
anonymous. And we do the employee net promoter scores. We do those.
NPS,
and actually,
yep.
I'd like to do them more often, but the marketing department says no. So we do it, yeah. But yeah, it's important to get that feedback, and it can burn. And there's some things that obviously I failed at as a leader if they don't understand the why of why we're doing it a certain way. Because there's things we do, and we do them a certain way for a reason. And if I haven't explained that to them, shame on me.
Yeah, great call. Well, okay, so I got totally derailed again. I'm going to pivot back to seasonal promotions and things like that.
Oh, okay.
So, because I want to try and give them some good takeaways that they could go back and implement from a marketing perspective or from a whatever perspective to kind of help them, whether it be for the end of this year, because we've got, Thanksgiving right around the corner when this airs and also, Christmas coming up or New Year's coming up or whatever, like a lot of stuff happening is, promos. So one of my good buddies, Chad, runs this free furnace promo and it works well for him. He swears by it. And it does work very well for him because seen it work well. In different markets, people are using different promotions and whether you're in HVAC or plumbing or electrical or whatever, you probably know like a handful of them that most people are putting out there. But does Jerry Kelly use, like I said, cause you're in a true like four season market, you've got the, you get a winter, spring and a summer and a fall. In Arizona, we get summer and basically spring. Like we don't really get winters per se. But do you have like some
hot, really hot?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. But do you have like any? Is there any seasonal offers that are like your go tos? Like, hey, these are the things that we know work well for us. And by the way, like when he gives these, obviously you have to have different processes in place to make them work. But to get to set the hook or things that work well, do you have some of those in place that you guys are, that are your go to?
Our number one go-to is just maintenance. Let's get inside the customer's house, target the home on age, and chances are they haven't had any maintenance done to it for 15 or 20 years and find things wrong with it and go from there. Either get them as an agreement customer, sell them some replacements or upgrades to get it modernized or replace the system. Those are the number one go-tos. We do instant cash rebates. We had really good success with the free furnace offer also 20 years ago. And then it kind of died off on the response rate. So we'll do a buyback letter, I think it's called, where we offered, between the financing rebates, the manufacturer's rebates, and give them a number. But yeah, the direct mail responses, and I'm going to go contrarian on this, for selling whole systems generally don't seem to work. We are one of the higher priced providers. And if they're in that, let's get them out here too to look at pricing. It's a tough sell. We will close 30% of them, but it's still a lot of effort to get a close on them. Whereas if we can get in there on maintenance, be the only people there, find a problem they didn't know they had, there's almost no competition for those leads.
Yeah. And really what you got to do when you're going on a maintenance lead, because it's really a, potentially you could have paid a decent chunk for that lead. When you get in the home, you got to really get the customer service at like all time high. Like you have to just wow them and it's got to be great. And cause you're trying to win the home. You're just trying to get in the house. Well, you got in the house. You got in the house, by the way, that's only 50% of the job. Like now you got to do the hard part. The hardest part's now getting
there. And you got to have the technology. I'm sorry. We've got the technology available that we run the system and we've got to print out on exactly how it's performing. And I mean, with today's technology, you can predict failures of igniters, flame sensors, capacitors, contactors. If you got any of them showing weak motors, I mean, there's the technology and it wows the customer to have these reports that show them exactly how their system's doing. And that starts the conversation of repair or replacement.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a perfect thing. Like that's why, I don't know how much you went down the path of the smartac.com stuff. Like Goodrich is the one that told me about it originally, but it does, like it allows us to, by putting that thing into the, when you do it, it's basically a DIY. It could be a DIY, but it allows you to understand there's a problem or you, the contractor, to understand that there's a problem before the homeowner might even know that there's a problem for you to go and fix things. So yes, there's a lot of options that can help, do these things for you. Right. And speed to service is like still one of the biggest like wins that you can get.
Absolutely.
But for you as a contractor, having things like that allow you to be even better. So what I'm saying is you get in the house, man, customer service has got to be on point when you're going for those maintenance leads.
Okay. Let's start. Smell good. Have a clean shirt on. Wear a uniform. Come on, let's get to the basics, guys. Yeah, I mean, you've learned everything in kindergarten you need to know to make a good impression. Let's do it.
So I mean, the basics, that sounds silly, but just think about that. Like, the basics. So, appearance matters. Like, when you see someone, you know, we're already prejudging people. Listen, how many of you listening right now, and even you, Steve, like, this is one thing that my wife and I talk about, is when you're going to meet somebody face-to-face, even if it's the homeowner, we're thinking like 15 things before we ever shake their hand. We see them, we think of how they visually look, which is why when you shake somebody's hand and they tell you your name for the first time, you don't remember it, right? Because you're thinking about all this other stuff, you can't remember their name at the same time. So you have to be intentional about remembering their name. But appearance matters, what you wear matters, and they're already judging you, like it or not, one way or the other, based upon how you look. That's just unfortunately how the human being is wired.
How does your truck look? Yeah. It all matters. It all matters.
Yeah. It's easy to say, I'm not going to wash my truck today, you know, and if you live in like the Midwest where, you know, the weather, especially if there's snow and like your truck is nasty and things like all this stuff matters. Like you might be like, it's not that big of a deal. I'm telling you, especially right now, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
And I'll tell you, my most successful techs, well into six figure earning, they all carry a spare shirt or two in case they do get dirty. They know it affects their ability to make money if they're not looking good and feeling fresh.
You mean they didn't just get lucky, Steve?
It may not work in your market, but now.
Now, I'm going to pivot one more time, too, before I go into kind of what you guys are going to be focused on going for 2024. And it's around like the, because again, I'm always trying to find alternative ways that I don't get to do this, but I can at least create some awareness around it. Is you had mentioned, you know, trying to get with maybe the OEM, your manufacturer or your suppliers or whatever. And there are some levers that you can pull. And more often than not, some of the smaller companies are thinking, I'm too small. I don't have any leverage. You know, I'm not going to bother going and trying to renegotiate pricing points and things like that. And maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have any leverage, right? But have you asked? You know, if you come to them with a business plan that says, hey, I'm going to reach X this year. Here's how I'm doing it. Knowing I'm going to hit X, will you give me Y? You know, like there are things that you can do, you know, to do some negotiations. By the way, the manufacturers love when I bring this up on the podcast.
I bet they do.
Notice, well,
if you got a good distributor, you do all your business with them or most of your business with them. Negotiate. You can get a rebate from them too. They're going to have to make their money, but you won't have your service manager giving away your volume discount because the price was $2 cheaper than it should have been. Have him give you the rebate on the back end on any discounts you might have. Just be fair. Keep me within a percent or two of everybody else's prices, and I'll continue to buy from you. And at the end of the quarter, give me a percentage back.
Right. And guess what? Don't be an asshole when you're doing it. Like, be nice about it, right? Like you know when you need to be a little bit stern, but don't be an asshole. Like
everybody's got to win. I mean, that's it's got to be a relationship that works for everybody. We couldn't do business without our local Johnstone suppliers. And I'll give them a plug here.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, because the local group here, and they're all individually owned, so your experience may vary. But they open. We're open 7 days a week. They'll open up on Sundays for us to get equipment for same day installs. I mean, we've got a plan set up. We had to let them know we couldn't be assholes about it, but we've got a plan set up where we can get whatever we need on Sundays or any day because they're willing to work with us on the commitment we give them our business.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have those good relationships. Like, listen, it makes it so much better for me when I know, like, hey, it's hard. I understand overall demand, you know, is down. What else are we doing? Or what else can we do to pivot and help? Or what else can we try? Okay. Like I really want to help somebody because I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know all of our customers. Like I can't know all of our customers, but people will still reach out to me individually and ask me for help. If somebody's reaching out to me or reaching out to one of my account managers and like, they're just saying, oh, you guys suck. You're doing this. Well, like it's 70 degrees out. What do you want me to do? Like, and does that make them feel warm and fuzzy and be like, oh man, I really can't wait to help this person? No, you know, they're human beings. They have, you know, like they didn't come in here today thinking, no, I'm going to do a really bad job for them. So
exactly.
Same thing with manufacturers, you know, like if, you know, when we went through the whole COVID thing too, and there's a shortage on equipment and all that stuff, like, what are you going to do? Being an asshole is not going to help you. Like, So just be nice, man. Work. People want to work with people they want to work with, you know, and like you, they'll open up for you on Sunday. Well, that helps you, right? Because, you know, they're kind of willing to bend over for you, but you're also loyal back to them, you know? So
exactly.
It goes both ways.
Exactly. Well, and if you, you know, there's other perks to working with them and being friendly. I mean, with AI and technology streamlining RFID, we're running an experimental program. Stocking all our trucks with RFID parts. So they pull in, wave the wand, know exactly what's missing, replace it, we're in and out. I mean, just stuff like that. If you're good to your distributors, you can get in on the ground level. And I'll tell you what, take advantage of any technological advances you can and get in on the ground floor so you understand how it works.
Yeah, because efficiency, Matt, if you're not selling something, then you better be efficient, right? Like you can save on both ends of these things, and efficiency is a big deal. It's kind of what you're talking about is... Absolutely. But then they also bring these things to you too as an option too. And by the way, sometimes it's easier to beta test things on smaller contractors too, because there's less risk involved to it. So just keep that in mind, by the way. But nobody's going to bring that to you if you're being an asshole to them. So like, you know, make sure you have a good working relationship.
And go with an open mind. Ask them what's coming up. Ask them what they're thinking. How can you help? Because our local Johnstone guys now got a RFID. You get a pass card to get in. They got all the parts out there. You grab it. You walk out the door. It bills you.
Boom. In and out.
Point of sale. So it's neat. It, for after hours, guys that need a motor or something, it's forward thinking. And that's the kind of people I like to be associated with.
Yeah, that's great. So all of that stuff adds up, right? And that's what I'm saying. Like sometimes, or maybe the position that you're in right now is just stop. Focus on all the things you've got going right now and start like, making sure you're paying attention to your CSRs, making sure you're paying to your after hours answering services or overflow answering services aren't, you know, sucking at taking the call volumes. And if they are, maybe stop until you get that squared away. But maybe it is leadership training. Like you need to make sure you have some people start to, you know, think like a leader, because by the way, not everybody just has that skill. Like sometimes good managers aren't great leaders, or good leaders aren't great managers. Like I suck at managing people. It's not a secret around here. And it's not because I don't care about them. It's just that I lack the focus that they need and that they deserve to get XYZ done.
100%. That's why I have Shelly. Exactly. Exactly.
But focus on all the little things, you know, that can make the business better, starting to pay attention to I'm spending X. What am I getting in return for that? And is that legit a brand new customer? I'm spending X. I got a new customer. How did Bill perform on this? Or how did Susie perform on this? Like focusing on the things that you can control might be what your plan is for 2024, or at least maybe for the first, you know, two quarters of it or whatever before you go into summer, but do something. So going into 2024, I'm assuming you've already thought about this ahead of time, like most great contractors do, but you have to, you know, start to have your plan in place and at least your goals in place and maybe not necessarily finish, but you're down the path. What are you guys focused on at Jerry Kelly going into 2024? Like, do you have a battle plan that you're ready to go, that you're going in with next year?
Oh, absolutely. The sales and marketing plan are big parts of it. And you've got to know what is your target every month. You've got to know what your budget is, and it's not going to be 10% increase over last year. If that's what you're looking for, 10% growth, because you don't do the same percentage of work in every month. So there's a little algebra involved, not too much, but yeah, just know where you're going. And then I break it down to the day. I know how much we've got to make every day in gross revenue to hit our target. If we don't, we got to start looking at it right away. Because if you wait till the end of the month to figure out why you're not hitting your daily budget, you're about a month too late.
Yeah. And you can do that regardless of size of business, right?
Oh, you have to. And it's easier with a small business. You get in the habit, and then it's just so much easier. And then, because if you try and do this to a $2 or $3 million company like I had to when I took over, and the technology wasn't there to give me real-time numbers of the revenue. I mean, that's so much of that has just become available in the last few years that has changed the whole dynamic of running the business.
Yeah, you have to know your numbers. And by the way, like maybe Steve's good at it because he understands it, and maybe you as a contractor don't, and that's okay. You got to find somebody that does get it. And there's like, you can part-time somebody, there's part-time, there's all kinds of options that you can get for somebody to help you get those numbers. I promise you, what you think you're saving and not using that person is a massive mistake. Would you agree, Steve?
Yeah, as Tommy Mello would say, it's an investment. It's not an expense. My goodness. Yeah. Don't screw around with the numbers. Get them right. All you need to know is basic math, addition and subtraction, to understand most of your financials. That's not to compile. You need somebody with an accounting background to compile them. But once they're put together, you ought to be able to read them with simple addition and subtraction once you know what you're looking for.
Yep. I mean, a part-time person can help you. I promise you, you can Google it and find somebody. You can probably ask a few other businesses. If you have your peer group that I was telling you to get involved in or your friends, somebody's going to be able to find you one, no problem. So, you know, 2024, going to be an interesting, year. I'm assuming we'll see a decent amount of consolidations again, just because some of these businesses won't take action, right? Like it will happen. But I will say, to kind of close this thing out, cause we're like an hour into this thing already. I told you, man, like once you kind of get into a conversation about it, it freaking flies by. But you know, where you're at right now, Steve, is significantly closer to where the majority of the listeners are trying to get to. You know, I'm going to talk of like the different steps. You've got the 1 million, the 3 million, the 5, the 8, the 10, the 12, like the 15s, the 20s, whatever, on the path. But you're in a position that's far more in reach and understandable than some of my bigger player customers or friends or buddies or whoever I've had on this podcast. You know what I'm saying? So I really think that your opinion and influence carries a ton of weight to the majority of our listeners. So to give them, you know, to give those contractors that are smaller than you some advice, you know, going into 2024, and it could be a single thing, it could be a couple different things, but like give them some sound. I mean, you've been through it. So you know kind of what these guys are facing. You've been through some challenging times. You know, you it's not like you came in and said, "Hey, I'm a $30 million but you told us where you're at exactly. You're in a good market. You've been through some things. Give these folks some advice on, hey, if you only focus on X or Y or X, Y, and Z going into 2024, like just give them advice, man. Like let them know what you like, what they should be thinking about."
No, and I get back to knowing your numbers, but knowing your price, you've got to price properly. If you're not priced properly, if you don't know where you want to be and how much profit you want to make, multiplying by 1.5 does not give you a 50% gross margin. I mean, it's just simple stuff like that. You need to price properly. You need to know what your true cost of doing business is. What is your overhead? What's your cost of goods sold? So you can make real decisions. And then you may, on the flip side of that, once you find out that you're paying yourself $2 an hour, have to raise your prices. And then you've got to go through the struggle of, okay, now how do we increase the value? And it's kind of a spiral, but you've got to increase the value to justify the price, but you deserve to make the money that you earn. You just have to be able to price properly for it.
Yeah. And I think you probably noticed this, and maybe you've even experienced this before, is, you know, if you're not the, if it's a good, better, best option in a market, you're the best option, meaning you're not the cheapest option. You're not even like, you know, you're a high value option. It can be scary to adjust your price points because you're immediately thinking, oh, I'm not going to make any sales. Like I raised my prices. Now I priced myself out. 9 times out of 10, you're wrong. You can do these things. You hear everybody talking about it. It's the value that you're bringing to be able to justify the expense of whatever it is that you're you know, offering to the homeowner. But you don't.
And you've got to adopt a professional sales process. You're a sales organization. You've got to be able to sell. And it just can't be the, you know, if you're an order taker, the customer says, well, really? No, seriously. I've asked you 4 times, how much for a new one? And you finally break down and give them the price of a new one. That's not a sales organization.
That's good. So, you know, even he gave you a few things in there that you can focus on. And we actually talked about quite a few things that you can focus on. And again, this is irrelevant of size. He's talking about processes. This, the last one just being the sales process, you know, in the sales process, recognizing, do we need to do some more sales training? The answer is, you should be doing sales training frequently.
All the time.
There should be technical training going on, you know, often. So, but just do something,
that
right?
Like costs money. That costs money. I can't do that, Chris. That costs too much.
Yep. And then guess what? Then they get bought because the business goes down. But that's what I'm talking about. Everyone gets, you know, analysis paralysis. I have all this shit I need to do or all these things I need to be focusing on. And then like I you know, preach this every place I speak is that these people go, you know, and with good intention, by the way, like good intention to go and learn the things. And they go back and we get right back in the same damn routine that they've been in before they left. And they end up putting nothing into action because you come back to like, you know, you missed a few days and you probably have some stuff piling up. That is that is the most common problem that's that happens. So
lack of implementation.
That's it. Ambition without action is useless. I've said it so many different times.
And then, so let me throw that as my final thing to recommend anybody that wants to get implement. Pick your top five things you got to get done and focus on them with passion and let the other ones go till you get those five done.
Boom. There you go. Hey, Steve, I got you locked down pretty good after a while to finally get your ass on here. So thank you, man. I appreciate you giving me your time.
It was fun. If you want to continue on, let me know. This was a good time. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
You're a good guy.
I'm grateful for it, man. I'm grateful for you, trusting, our business as a partner. So thank you for that as well. But just spending time to come on here and do it and share with everybody else, these are the ones that when people are saying, hey, we want more contractors that are closer in size to us, like, hey, listeners, I just delivered it right now. And his name is Steve Miles. Hey, Steve, if anyone wants to reach out to you or connect with you, is there a proper channel that they could do that if they want to ask you any questions? Not everybody's going to reach out to you, but some might take you up on it. Just want to ask you in private.
Yeah. Actually, send them the easiest email address would be marketing@jerrykelly.com.
Perfect.
And then they'll get it to me. But marketing@jerrykelly.com. Ask any questions you want. They'll get it to me and I'll respond.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. And I appreciate it. So, hey, I don't know how many, have you done any other podcasts before? If you have, lie to me and tell me no.
Absolutely not.
Perfect. Have you done any others before?
Yeah.
I've done a few. Shit. Well, none as good as this one, probably.
No, this one, you've got it down, man. This is awesome.
Perfect.
They all want to be you.
Count it. Anyway, okay. I got to close this out. Steve, I appreciate you, my man. And our listeners, we gave a lot of topics through here. We talked about a lot of things. I mean, this is a guy who got, he's the HVAC Hall of Fame. He got inducted into. He's been in the game a long time.
Good slip of tongue.
Yeah, right. He's been indicted. He's been inducted into it. He's been indicted. Freudian slip, maybe? I don't know. I'm kidding. But he's done some things. He understands some things. He didn't just marry the owner's daughter. He worked his way through it and built a great business.
Well, I did that too.
I said he didn't just do it. So take some advice here and listen again. If you don't know, I promise you, you think you have a stupid question. I promise you, somebody else has thought of it before, maybe even Steve, right? But ask the questions because you can't get through it if you don't ask it to try and get out of your own way. Very, very common thing, but reach out to them. And, again, like I said, find a group of people or some peers. It doesn't have to be like a full group. Start with one, but find somebody that you can rely on that can help you in business situations too. And that can also help hold you accountable. That's a big deal.
And don't be afraid to ask the question. Almost everybody in this industry will answer it. I mean, Ken Goodrich, I know Ken Goodrich. If you take him aside and ask him a question, he'll give you an answer. It will be an answer that makes you think and you won't have a response to, but he'll give you an answer.
That's very accurate. And you'll probably blow your mind and you won't even know how to respond to it anyway. And you're going to feel a little bit dumb.
You will think about it. Then you'll have to do some reflecting. You go, wow, that was a pretty good question. I guess he knew what Ken's like that, very insightful, but he's going to get right to the quick. But everybody I've met in this industry will help you. Just ask.
Exactly. So we'll go ahead and end it on that. But what, listeners, this is how I always finish the same because it's absolutely true. You don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.